Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
I've been really fascinated by building communities for many reasons. One of them is that, you know, if you build it right, you can have this regular source of revenue income for your business. But secondly, I think it's just super cool to see your work and, you know, this community working together for a common good. And that's exactly what I talked to Christina about. She started off by organizing a casual meetup for UK-based content marketers. She mobilized it over Twitter and LinkedIn, and then now it's this paid community called Content UK, where it's all about content marketers. I'm really fascinated how she was able to build this paid community from scratch. And now she's actually quit her job a few months ago and does this full time, which is really fascinating. So I talked to Christina about many things about many of her key learnings about this topic. In this episode, you can learn first why she does webinars and why she thinks it has advantages over podcasts. It's funny, you're hearing her share this in a podcast. Second, she'll also share how she grew this paid community by doing things that didn't scale well early on. And third, she talks a little about how she used her reward to support the participation of her community members. I think this is a big key part, is when you're thinking about building a community, it can't just be a one-way conversation. It has to be a two-way where people are contributing to that community, or else it'll get boring really, really fast. Now, before we jump in, I've created a free growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips from this episode in a one-page PDF. If you want to know more about communities, don't just listen to it. You can just actually read my summary of this episode in a one-page PDF. You can get it at growtoday.fm/125 or find that link in the description. Now, get it now before it goes away, because when I publish the next episode, I actually take this week's cheat sheet away. So get it now. I also want to thank those who made this episode possible. Now, these folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. Thanks to 42 Agency and Camille, the founder of that agency. Now, Camille and 42 Agency works with high-growth B2B SaaS companies, helping them build and scale revenue and marketing operations to accelerate demand generation and pipeline growth. To learn more and get $500 in free consulting time, you can visit them at growtoday.fm/42 or find that link in the description. Well, enough about me. Let's jump into my chat with Christina. Hey, everybody. I am excited to chat about community with Christina. And you're based all the way in UK, right? That's your focus on Content UK. Whereabouts from UK are you based out of, Christina?
I'm based in North London. It's like just about in London. It's so north, called a place called Southgate.
Nice. I should have asked that before we record, but that's really cool. And it's probably afternoon there already. It's early morning here in Toronto. Before we talk about community, I ask you what you wanted to, you know, what have you been doing so far? And one of the things you did was you picked up a new habit during the pandemic. I'm curious what that new habit is.
Yes, so the new habit is, well, one that a lot of people took up, I think, it's yoga. So I started doing that in March following YouTube videos, and I've just consistently continued it. We're now in November and I've still been doing it every day. But I've purely learned through YouTube videos, so I don't know how accurate my form is. I've had no one correct me, but it's been good fun.
It's funny. It's funny. That's actually quite unique. Like, they're in Toronto, I'm not sure how it is in London, but in Toronto, Canada, there was the first phase, which is the baking phase, where there was no flour. There was no flour or baking materials for months. And then there's the gardening phase, which my wife got into, and she bought a bunch. She built like a tomato and chili and lettuce plants and planted that. So did you ever get into those phases at all?
I think those phases are pretty popular as well. Yeah, the whole baking, banana bread, and puzzles. Yeah. That's been very popular in the UK as well. Puzzles. Everyone's doing a puzzle. And yeah, I'd say yoga as well was high up there. Gardening, not so much. But yeah, there's been some interesting habits popping up.
Interesting. Joanna was like, hey, Ramley, we should buy some puzzles this week. I guess we're a little bit behind in that flow there.
Yeah, I recommend really them. Awesome. Are the tomatoes still coming along? Did you keep that up?
Yeah, we did. We actually got a good handful of tomatoes. Yeah, and it's expensive here. Like, it's like the tomatoes are not local in Toronto, so, or Canada or Ontario, that matter. So, like, yeah, it was great to have that and bok choy.
Nice. That's good to hear that you kept it up and that they've been flourishing.
That's true. Well, let's jump in and talk about community. First of all, I think I saw a tweet like a month or 6 weeks ago where you quit your full time. You're working on Content UK now. If people are not familiar with it, what is Content UK?
Yeah, so Content UK is a community connecting and supporting UK content marketers. So we've got members that are either completely new to content marketing all the way through to heads of content and in-house and freelance. And it's just a space where they can join and talk about common challenges that they're facing in their role or get feedback on work with people that are experiencing something similar and can resonate and support each other. So yeah, it comes in the form of a Slack community and then also lots of learning resources for people to become better at content marketing through Q&As and workshops with content experts.
I mean, when you tweeted this tweet, you are, I just want to clarify, you are working full-time on Content UK now.
I am now, yeah. So originally I was a content marketer for years, both in-house and did some freelancing as well. And I was building Content UK on the side as like a place so I could meet other people that were content marketers. There wasn't really a community for us in the UK. So yeah, I was just doing on the side of my job as like a pub meetup, just to meet other people like me. And slowly I over lockdown sort of started transitioning it into a paid membership thing. And then I quit my job at the end of September and I'm just going full out on Content UK now.
That's like a dream story where like a side hustle becomes the main hustle. That's like the side hustler's main dream, right? Like,
technically, I mean, I've got a long way to go. It's still quite a bit of a leap. I wouldn't say it was, I think a lot of people would have stayed at their job for a while longer, but I've just jumped, made the jump.
That's good. No, still, I think it's still a thing where like, when you're only dedicating a few hours of your day to something you really care about, it can only grow so far. But I want to hear more about how you started this off. Like, you built this because you found a need for yourself. Like, can you share a little bit more of that story of like how this started and how you got it kind of going in the beginning?
Yeah. So yeah, as I said, I was a content marketer and I used to see a lot of American content marketers quite active online, but I didn't really know any in London or people that I could meet in person to just talk about the experiences we were having. So I just put a tweet up on social media and on LinkedIn just being like, oh, hey, any UK content marketers want to meet at the pub? So like six of us rocked up to the first one. And then I thought, oh, let me try doing another one next month. And people liked it. So I just kept running them every month. And it was like a nice community building up. So that's kind of how it started. And then I started a newsletter to let people know about the next meetup and a Slack group so that we could all stay in touch afterwards. So it was quite organic in that sense. That's how it started up. And then it built to like 100 or so members just through that mainly. And I also started a jobs board as well that I was updating and posting in the newsletter, which I think helped gain traction. That was the beginnings of it. And then I could see there's something people were finding a lot of value in. And I want to spend more time building it even more.
I want to hear about that first tweet. When you post, like when I don't know, even now when I tweet or share something on LinkedIn, it makes my stomach flutter. I mean, for you, it must have been like, hey, is anybody interested here? One of the worst fear for me could be, it could be cricket. You can hear crickets, right? Like it's just silence. Did you already have people that you wanted to tap into to come to the first meetup, or you just threw it into out in the open to see what the universe will bring you?
That's a good question. So I guess I did know some online people from the marketing world and a few like like Brighton SEO, I'd met a couple of people in the space. I messaged some people directly as well as the tweet to the universe. So I'd say half the people that came were from sort of people I'd met virtually or at like Brighton SEO, and then the rest was just from the tweet. But I would have been happy if it was just three people or two people. I was open to just no one really caring. I didn't mind.
Interesting. No, that makes sense. Can you talk a little bit about that first meetup? It must have been nerve-wracking because like this is whenever something new, like did you have like an agenda in mind, or you just wanted to be super organic and just go with the flow?
I get, so in London there is quite a culture of pub meetups in general where it could be marketing thing or it could be just any sort of group. They're quite a regular thing, so I felt like I'd been to quite a few of those, so I wasn't too scared, I guess, because I was just imagining it to be like one of those just bunch of people around the table with a few beers and then just let the conversation flow. That's kind of what I had in my head. That was it. That was like the only agenda, and that's what happened really. So we were talking about a mixture of content stuff and then just general non-content related things in a very informal pub environment.
That makes sense. Yeah, you're right. Like you're building those friendship and relationship, and I'm sure that first six, I'm guessing, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're close to them now, or like you've kind of built this friendship with those first people that showed up in that first meetup.
Yeah, correct. There's some that so the first ones, you might know some of them, they're all like on the Twitter world, like Emily Byford, Veronica Baranowska, Tom Watley, they came.
Oh yeah.
There might be a few familiar,
shoot,
names.
Veronica, yeah, interesting. No, those names are familiar. Veronica actually been supporting my podcast for a few years now. It's really, really interesting how it all ties back together.
Yeah, it's a very small circle.
That's true. Yeah, and I it's fascinating that you use Twitter. Were you active on Twitter already? Because like that's, I when people ask me how I get my guests, and this is how we met, is 90% of my guests is from Twitter. Just like I'm throwing it out of the Twitter world. But like, were you already active in Twitter when you chose that platform to announce this thing?
Yeah, I think I was pretty active, more active in the recent months, but I was using it quite regularly. So I think that helps, having, if you've already got a little bit of a network that you've built up, to then put out something like that, I think.
That makes sense. I want to move forward a bit. And then there was a bunch of things that you mentioned, the newsletter and then the job board. Like how long before the first meetup, the second meetup, did you start thinking, I think I should get a newsletter so that people know when the next one is happening instead of like through Twitter or some other platform using?
Good question. I feel like it must have been like the third or fourth one I started up the newsletter. Roughly something like that, and I also started posting them on Eventbrite as well. That's another channel. It was a good place, but yeah, they were quite. It was basically around the third or fourth one, and it was basically a few jobs that had popped up that I'd post, and then the next meetup, and that was the newsletter.
Oh, so it's a job. Okay, that's interesting. How was the meetup growing at this point? Was it through word of mouth? Was it through? Did you ask people to tweet this out? What were some of the things you did that helped, like, I guess, grow from six to, you said 100, right?
Yeah, in the Slack group. So the meetups themselves, they were quite consistently about 10 people every month. So that was quite a small number, even though every month there would be about 10 people every single time. But the Slack group, people that went to a meetup would then join the Slack group. People that wanted to hear about the jobs would then join the Slack group. So I think it was word of mouth. And I'd also post the jobs on social. So every week people would see the jobs, go on my job board, and then see, like, join the Slack. So it's got a bit of a loop going on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. I think that is organic. Yeah, you're getting some people to really start engaging in that. I want to talk a little bit about the Slack group, and you said you had 100 there. I've been part of Slack groups where you know, there's thousands of people and I don't know which channel I should be asking questions. And I post a question up into the universe or to one of the Slack channels and I get crickets and no replies. Was it like that in the beginning for you, or were you like really intentional into like making sure people are engaging in that group?
I would say I was extra intentional once I decided it was then going to move into a paid community, but initially it was a lot. It was quieter, but I think because it was small and a lot of the people had met in the pub pre-pandemic, people had met each other, so they felt quite comfortable to post messages. There were probably like a few going on a week, whereas like if you moved to when it was then paid and it was more intentional, there's like daily messages, but I can talk about that separately. But yeah, I think having met beforehand made a difference, and people wanted to, I would often post jobs in there as well, which I think would help bring people back regularly to see if there's a new job posted.
And you said something there that's fascinating. You got more intentional when it turned to paid.
Hmm.
Okay, let's talk about that transition from free to paid. When did that happen, and what was the genesis, or what was the trigger that made you decide that, hey, this should be paid and people are actually getting a lot of value for this?
Yeah, so I could just see other communities that were paid that were kind of similar to what I was doing, but different communities. And I was like, oh, people, they're paying for these things. I was beginning to pay to be in communities myself that were operating quite similarly to Content UK. So I just thought, oh, I really love doing this. Let me see if I can mold this into a paid membership. And I had a lot of time during the pandemic. That was also like my social life had dwindled down. So I thought this is going to be a new project that I want to try. Let's make this something different. And then, well, I forgot the second part of your question there.
Yes. You talked about when and like the trigger around getting this started. And I guess you already answered that. But what was like, now that you say, hey, I'm paying for this communities, I should start a paid. What was the next step for you to figure out like what are, you know, how you need to transition, what you need to do to transition from free to a paid community?
Yeah, there are a few different things that I was considering. So one was either to keep it free, make the community get really, really big and then get sponsorship. That was one option. Another one was to keep everyone who was already in there free and then start charging. But the option I went with in the end was like to have everyone that was already in the community, I was going to give them two months free as I transitioned it and made the community better. So I was very, very transparent and just said to everyone, thank you for being a good part of the community. I've got a vision to make this even better. Over the next 2 months, these are the things that are going to be changing. And yes, I sort of slowly transitioned it over. And in those 2 months, though, my mission was to increase the value a lot. So this was through getting content experts on board that I really liked to do regular webinars and workshops. I started doing online Zoom meetups. I transformed the Slack community into like lots of different channels and it was just really improving the Slack activity and intentionally improving that, having lots of one-to-one conversations with members about what their challenges were, what they'd find useful, and just really ramping up the value. So that's what I did over that 2 month phase. And then towards the last couple of weeks, I sort of had, you know, there's going to be 25 spots at this initial introductory price, and then it's going to go up to sort of incentivize people to join on early. And the goal was I really wanted to get 20 people paying. That was kind of like, if 20 people join, then that's still a nice size for a community. And I think that pressure was made me make it, try and put as much value as possible to everybody, because I really wanted to get to that number of 20. And I didn't want to let down the community who had been like part of it for such a long time.
What did you end up getting? Like, that's a cliffhanger. You're leaving that a cliffhanger. Like, what was, did you hit that 20?
Yeah, it was about 20 that joined.
Congrats.
Thankfully, a lot stuck around. But I knew a lot wouldn't stick around. I was prepared for a big, big drop. I don't know if that was the right way, the way I did it, or whether there's lots of different ways to do it. There's no right decision. But that's what I went with.
makes, you know, fascinating. I mean, let's talk about that. Did you get any violent reactions? Like, what the heck, Christina, why are you doing this to us? But, or did, were people very supportive of your decision?
I think because I was really, really transparent and speaking a lot one-to-one with everybody, I didn't really get any of those aggressive reactions. There were some people who didn't, they were like, I don't think it's for me to join, but they were still supporting me and they were still like retweeting and sharing stuff and telling other people about the community, which was really nice. But I think, yeah, the transparency and having like that whole a long period and adding, really obviously adding more value made it an easier transition. So yeah, thankfully no angry people.
that's one of my, I hate those trolls, man. I can't stand them, but you're right, that's great to hear that that didn't happen for you.
Oh yeah.
You'll get it, like, you know, you've made it when you got that troll like just trolling you everywhere.
Yeah.
Like a life goal. That's jokes. I want to dig a little bit deeper into how you structured your Slack community. And it goes back to me being part of Slack communities where there's just a ton of Slack channels and I don't know where to go. So like, how did you structure it? And, you know, what were the results of structuring or engaging your Slack community in the way that you did?
And so in terms of structure, that was quite gradual. So it started off with just like general jobs, random, I think that was it. But then just from seeing common things that would come up, I then started branching these out. So as it is at the moment, is like an announcements channel, which is just announcements where people can't post threads. So it's just all in one area. Ask anything, where people just ask any question they want. Books, that's very popular with content. I think that's one of our most active channels is books.
Interesting. Really interesting.
Feedback channel. People can post content and get feedback on their work. There's quite a few. Like, wins, that's popular. So every Friday, there's like a Slack bot that will pop up saying, what's your win of the week? And then people... a bunch. I've also got a private channel for women because I found that the men seem to talk more in the community than the women. So I started a little private group for women just to see if that would make a difference. So yeah, just experimenting with different stuff like that.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. So you're actually, and the cool thing about what you said there is you're actively trying to figure out like the needs of your community. You saw this need for female content marketers and you created that for them, right?
Yeah, I think that's really important. Just keep listening because what works for another demographic of a Slack community might not be the same as yours. So just look out for patterns and then respond to that.
That makes sense. And you said the first 2 months you'd really want to pack that value. Are there any stuff that you did early on during that 2 months that you continued on? Like you talked about the AMAs, you talked about expert webinars. Are there still ones that you're still doing and you know are the ones that your community is finding valuable?
Yeah, so that's still going. There'll be like usually 2 workshops or Q&As a month with content experts. I often like to do them either with external people or members of the community themselves, which I think is really valuable for a lot of people. It'll be like their first ever webinar and it was to the Content UK community. So it's just like a nice little cycle there. Yeah, and then there's also a members area, which we have now as well, where all recordings from webinars go up along with notes and building up like a template library as well, or of like, you know, like a template contract that you can give if you're a freelancer, content calendar, things like that. And then another thing that I'd like to continue that I was doing during that period is just having one-to-one chats with community members. That's really important.
Let's talk about that. That's really hard to scale, but it's great for building that relationship. Like, when you get a new member, like how do you onboard them? Do you start off with that one-to-one chat? Do you jump on a call with them? What is your process for onboarding new members?
Yeah, so when somebody joins, I will arrange a Zoom call with that person to have just a hello conversation. It's very casual just to understand, you know, what they're working on in content, what topics they're interested in. Then we'll introduce them into the Slack group and the introduction channel. And then especially at the beginning, like just check in on somebody when they've joined. I think that's the most important time to keep somebody engaged. Because if they join a community and no one's replied to something that they've said, they're not going to feel brave enough to keep coming back. Especially at the beginning, I like to take time to help people feel welcome. I don't know how, as it grows bigger, I don't know how that will change. But for now, I think that's a really important part of the community.
That makes sense. And I'm sure once it gets too big, you can hire another community manager to do all of that stuff.
Yeah, well, long way away from that, but yeah, maybe.
But after that first few weeks or months for the new community, you talked about how important the one-on-one chats are. Mm-hmm. Like, how often do you check up on your members? Do you check on them once a month, try to figure out what they're working on? Or do you just like make it organic where if they send you a message, you reply back?
Kind of a mixture of both. If I see something that like seems interesting to a particular member, I'll message them directly about it. And then I'll sometimes say, I'm looking for some feedback calls. Is anyone free to have one of those? We also have every fortnight, just an informal check-in, which is usually really small groups of like two or three where people can just jump on every Monday at lunchtime for a chat. So they're like small group chats. And there's like a coffee, I don't know if you've seen the donut app, that's in a lot of Slack groups. So that we've used that as well. So every fortnight as well, members will get matched to somebody to have a one-to-one chat with each other. So it's not just me having those one-to-one conversations.
That's really cool. Yeah, I've tried the donut app. So really great, really great. I'm going to add that to the link for the show notes. You've been talking a lot about stuff that has worked. Were there ones that, you thought that the community would find valuable and then after a few tries, it didn't work out? Or were all the stuff that you implemented in the community, it was well-researched and it was a success?
I'd say, the Zoom virtual meetup that I mentioned. So that was kind of to replace the pub meetups where they used to be like 10 people. And when I started doing these, there's only like, two or three that come every time. So there's part that's like, oh, that's not a big success. That's quite rubbish. But when the people that do turn up, they really like that it's that small. So that's just interesting, because in my head it was a failure, but they quite like that. Other things, maybe doing, just trying to do too many things at once. I think that's quite, if you're a community manager, you want to engage people, so you might do a million webinars and Q&As and all these things at once. But often if you speak to your members, the thing that they like the most is just connecting with other people like them. So you don't always need to do so many things. That's been a big learning.
That's true. Yeah, that's definitely a really interesting insight. I want to talk a little bit and shift gears into how you've been growing this community now that is paid. What are some things that you're doing? Are you just depending on word of mouth that people are getting so much value? Are you, do you have referral programs? Do you have a free trial? What are some things that you're doing to really grow this paid community?
That's a good question. It's something that I definitely need to revisit, because I'd say at first it was all quite organic. So because it had been free for so long, people had like experienced what it was like. And then were willing to pay. And I had a period of free trials as well, which when people did a free trial, they could see what it was like and then joined, or they'd been to a free webinar in the past. So I think those things is what got people joining the first batch. And now everything is gated behind being paid. I'd say that's slowed down quite a lot. So I'm now trying a free webinar that's going to be coming up soon, which will be for like, it's almost like a teaser of it. So that's something I'm trying. I do have a referral thing as well. So if a member shares their code with somebody, they'll get a month off, I've had one person join through that. So that could be another area to work on. But yeah, I think a lot of it was organic and sort of accidental word of mouth from before. Now I need to like relook at those different things to try to let people see what a lovely community it is before they pay.
Yeah, that actually, having a good word of mouth in the beginning is a good sign. I think the Y Combinator talks about how startups And it applies to community too. Like, that's cool that people are talking about this because you're getting a ton of value and they're bringing other people on.
Yeah. Board
to, and it's free. It's essentially free. Like, you're not, it's not your effort. Like, it's like zero effort on your end and zero paid on your end. So still congrats that you're getting a ton of word of mouth too. Really, you've grown it so far through that.
Thanks. Yeah, it's definitely, that's been good for the first phase of it for sure. And it's nice that people are sticking around as well.
Retention. That's fascinating. Okay, let's talk about that. Like, are you finding members stick around? Like, once, that's a cool thing about community is once you build that relationship, it's hard to leave that community because, like, you're not leaving the community, you're leaving your friends. Is that what you're finding? Where, like, they're in pretty much for a while.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. People don't want to leave their friends. So far, I had the first customer leave, but I've been on holiday this week. I was really scared people would leave when I was off. But so one person left this week, but just the one so far. But that's always on my mind. It's beyond anything else, but beyond the growth, it's like, how do I make sure people are just getting value all the time? The people that's what I get most anxious about is letting current members who are paying their money every month and them not getting value from it. I think that spurs me to just keep making sure it's really valuable for everybody.
How are you doing that? You already talked about the one-on-one. Are you sending surveys, or like, are you checking up what stuff they're finding valuable and what stuff do they want to see more?
So that's just, yeah, through the conversations that people have amongst each other in Slack groups. It will often be common challenges that pop up. So I'll then try and do a webinar around those topics. And when I do have webinars or workshops, you can just see the popularity of which things are people signing up to more than others. Those one-to-one calls, as I mentioned before, seeing how often people are engaging in Slack. And if someone hasn't messaged for a while, I might pop them a message.
That totally makes sense. I want to shift gears one more time. And this is something that I try to bring up last because it's I try to re-emphasize to my listeners that this is not the most important thing, but it's something that they want to hear is what tools are you using for this community, and with a caveat that, you know, get to know your community first, make sure you know what they want, and the tools should come secondary or tertiary. But I'm curious what your tech stack look like right now for Content UK.
Yeah, that's a good question. And there's definitely a gap for a community, like a HubSpot equivalent for the community world, just like something that does all the different things. I think it's quite fragmented to build a proper community at the moment. But what do I use? I use Slack, as I've mentioned a lot, because a lot of professionals are already using Slack in their day jobs. They're already online. So I think that's quite key for this group specifically. I use Notion for the members area. When somebody joins, I'll invite them as a guest so they can view all the different recordings and the notes in there. What else do I use? Zapier. Recently I've made like this little like member appreciation board with like Zapier, Google Sheets, Slack. That's another thing. Cool. What else? Zoom webinars for the webinars. I think that's it from the top of my head. They're the main things I'm using. MailChimp for the newsletter.
That's cool. It's tools that I'm familiar with. I thought you were going to bring up some like next level. Like, hear this, but like this is a lesson for people listening that you don't need the fancy tool. You can use what you have to start building the community that you wanted to launch.
Yeah, I think as long as people have something for people to communicate amongst each other with, somewhere to host meetups virtually, and a members only hub, whatever tool that takes the shape of, they're probably the three big tools that you'll need.
That's a good way to summarize that. I didn't really think about that, but thank you. You said something there that I saw a tweet from you about that leaderboard. Can you talk about how and Like, what has the results been? Because that's cool. I'm also part of this marketing community by Corey Haynes, and he tweets that out once a month. Like, who has the most points or who has the most messages? And I joined his community 2 weeks ago, and I'm in 10th, and I'm like, I'm going to beat everybody. I'm just going to comment like crazy and just add a lot of value. But I'm curious how you build it out with Zapier, and you said Google Sheets, and how has that helped your community?
That's cool to know about Corey's one. Is that for helpfulness out of interest? Is that, how's that?
Yeah, it's been, I'm not sure how he's getting the points. He uses Circle app as his community. I'm guessing that it's internal metrics, because we don't see it. That's the cool thing, is like, I don't see it until he posts it up. So I don't know if it's a number of comments, or like maybe it's weighted where like you start a thread and then you get more points.
Okay.
But what's your system?
So this was, I'd seen it in another group. I wanted to like encourage helpfulness. So basically, if somebody posts something in Slack and they put a pencil emoji on that person's comment, that person will get a point. And then Zapier will like ping that over to Google Sheets as like a point for that person. And then it puts it into a graph. But this is the first month of it, so I'm trialing it out.
That's so genius. Yeah, you're getting your community to vote for which ones are the most helpful. So it's not this black box, that this random algorithm, like it's literally is like based on what the community finds is the most helpful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Zapier's so cool. I was really happy to figure out how to do that with Zapier.
It's a cool hack. And have you posted it up like the leaderboard yet? And if so, like, did the community love it?
So it's the first like winner will be going up at the end of November. So people are beginning to use it. I see a few pencils going up on comments. So this is like the test month.
Interesting. I'm going to follow up to find out what the result is. And for my listeners, this will be probably up this episode after this. So I'll follow up and find out what happened, and if this is an interesting, helpful, valuable thing that the community find.
Yeah, we'll see if the hypothesis was correct, and it encourages everyone to be even more helpful and appreciative.
When we come back in just a moment, Christina shares how to make sure you don't burn out as a community manager or community builder. Really, really fascinating. She was one who actually suggested this topic. I talked to her about how she manages her mental health as she builds her community. Just a quick thanks to our sponsor for this episode, 42 Agency. Now, 42 Agency works with high growth B2B SaaS companies, helping them build and scale revenue marketing operations that accelerate demand generation and pipeline growth. They've worked with some amazing companies like OnFleet, HubDoc, GuestLogic, FlexDay, and more. And to top it off, I actually know the founder of 42 Agency, Camille Rexton, and he knows his stuff. So go reach out to him. He's actually offering a free $500 consulting time for Grow Today listeners. You can visit them at growtoday.fm/42 or find the link in the description. It'll redirect to this special offer. One more thing, don't forget to download the free Grow Cheat Sheet for this episode. It has all the actionable tips from this episode in a one-page PDF. Why take notes when you can just steal mine? You can take all the actionable tips from this episode and apply it to your business to accelerate the growth even faster. You can find the link in the description of this show. Download it now before I take it away, because it'll only be up until next week. Enough about this. Let's jump back into my chat with Christina. I want to shift gears one last time and talk about burnout. This is something I believe that you said that you wanted to chat about. And you know, as a community leader, it can feel draining sometimes that you're being pulled into one-on-ones. You're trying to organize this webinar. You're trying to figure out Zapier with the leaderboard. You're getting pulled in so many directions. How do you make sure that you don't burn out? And what would be your advice to other community leaders and even maybe content marketers or marketers in general into making sure that they don't burn out?
Yeah, I think it can definitely be something really common amongst the marketing space and people that are on social media a lot, whether it's, yeah, you're running a community or you're just on social and posting a lot. You could just be always switched on 24/7. So something, yeah, trying to get better at it. So with community stuff, I try and dedicate some specific hours a day to interact with the community. Not the first thing that I do, because then you can just get sucked into like reactive chat. So yeah, put in specific hours that you can post for and then turn off when you're doing focus work. Make sure you have actual days off where you're just off social media completely. Yeah, I don't have all the answers, but it just, I think giving yourself special time away from responding and being online is important, and giving yourself a break. So I'm just coming to the end of the first week off Content UK in months and months, and just, that's really important, I think.
That's fascinating. You talk about breaks earlier. You said like, "Oh man, I'm gonna take a week off. Will my members stick around?" And it's been super healthy for you to realize, yeah, they are sticking around, right?
Yeah, and I think even if for any reason they didn't, it's still, you need to prioritize. You need to have a break every now and again more than anything else. I think John, and he runs the Yen community. He wrote a really good post about community building and workaholism the other week, which I recommend people reading. And just putting, your community is important, but your own mental health is more important than your community. It's a good post for that.
That's a really great advice. I'm going to start wrapping up. And this question I love asking is, if you can give one or two advice you'd like to give to anybody who's thinking about starting and growing a paid community from scratch, what would those one or two pieces of advice, and it could be anything that we've talked about so far or anything new that you wanted to share to those people?
If you are going to build a community, before you do anything else, it's just really research your community. Like, take time to speak with, say, 5-10 people of the niche you want to be serving, and ask them what their challenges are, where they hang out, who their influencers are, have a look around the communities they're already in. Like, just really get to understand them before you try and serve them, basically. That's probably my first tip. And then the second one is, make sure you actually enjoy nurturing relationships and turning up every day to communicate with people. Because I know communities are a bit of a buzz thing right now, but you'll get bored really quickly if you're more interested in like just building really big numbers, like growth hacking and stuff like that. I think community building is about building relationships and being committed to doing that every day. So just make sure you actually enjoy that before you go ahead with making priority a focus for you.
Yeah, that's such a good advice. You're right. Everybody's talking about community, especially the pandemic hit. Everybody's like, oh, let's build an online community with this brand. And if you don't enjoy, like you said, nurturing relationships and building that relationships, then this might not be it for you.
Exactly. But it's good fun.
It is. Yeah, I can imagine. One last question. Mm-hmm. You know, where can people find out more about you, about Content UK? Can people join Content UK if they're not from UK? and what is your call to action? Where do you want listeners to go after this episode?
Yes, you can find out more about Content UK at contentuk.co. And despite the name, we do have a lot of members that are from outside the UK. We've got like people from Miami, Buenos Aires, Latvia. So this is, you don't just have to be from the UK. And then, yeah, I'm on Twitter at Christina_P. And yeah, come along if you want to know more about content marketing and improve your craft, meet up content marketers.
Awesome, Christina. I really do appreciate your time. Thank you so much for sharing all of your tips.
Thank you so much, Ramli.
Well, that's it for this episode. I just want to remind you to download all of the actionable tips that Christina shared in this episode in a one-page PDF that I call a Grow Cheat Sheet. Why take notes when you can just steal mine and download it? You can go to growtoday.fm/125 to get it now, or you can find this link in the description. And before I end, I want to thank once again Camille and 42 Agency for sponsoring this episode. They make this episode possible by their sponsorship cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools, so I can focus on getting amazing experts like Christina on this show. Now, they focus really on helping B2B SaaS companies, those high growth ones, to build and scale revenue and marketing operations that accelerate demand generation and pipeline growth. To learn more and get $500 in free consulting time, visit them at growtoday.fm/42 or find that link in the description. Please also support me. There's three easy ways. First, you can tell a friend about this if you like it, and you really do. Share. You tweet about it, or you can tell a friend about this. Second, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I really would appreciate that. This is one of the ways that other people find out about podcast shows like this, is through reviews. And finally, third, join the Grow Today mailing list, and you'll get each cheat sheet directly emailed to you, so you don't have to keep downloading it over and over again. Well, that's it for this episode. Until the next one, this is your host, Ramley John. Keep safe, and as always, keep on growing. Passion.